Are you able to sleep? The message tonight is sleeping when the wind blows. Are you able to sleep? I'm married to a wonderful woman that absolutely cannot do anything if a storm comes at all. If there's any type of wind outside, any type of storm outside, you can forget it. The house will be wide. The lights will be on. The house is. Everybody has got to panic when there's a storm coming, and I don't care how far away the storm could be, 10 miles away, everybody get down in the basement. I don't know if you remember, but I would say probably 5 or 6 years ago, there was a tornado that actually touched down in Ravenna. That's what they tell me. Now, I didn't see it. I didn't see news excerpts on it. I just heard that a tornado had touched down. I was very close to sleeping, okay? And she comes running in the room. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, there's a storm. And we were all down in the basement. The kids are all down in the basement because the storm comes. And some of you are like that. And listen, now I make fun, but listen, there's nothing wrong with being afraid during those times of the storm, because storms are something that are very damaging. They can be very hard to deal with. They can be very hard to get through. And Kativer gave me a little story. Now I want to read this to you because I like this, and it's going to go along with the message tonight. And the title of the story is Sleeping When the Wind Blows. Can you sleep while the wind blows? Years ago, a farmer owned land along the Atlantic seacoast. He constantly advertised for hired hands. Most people were reluctant to work on farms along the Atlantic. They dreaded the awful storms that raged across the Atlantic, wreaking havoc on the buildings and crops. As the farmer interviewed applicants for the job, he received a steady stream of refusals. Finally, a short, thin man, well past middle age, approached the farmer. Are you a good farm hand? The farmer asked him. The fellow said, well, I can sleep when the wind blows, answered the little man. Although puzzled by this answer, the farmer, desperate for help, hired him. The little man worked well around the farm, busy from dawn to dusk, and the farmer felt satisfied with the man's work. Then one night, the wind howled loudly in from offshore. Jumping out of bed, the farmer grabbed the lantern and rushed next door to the hired hand's sleeping quarters. He shook the little man and yelled, get up! A storm is coming! Tie things down before they blow away! The little man rolled over in bed and said firmly, no, sir, I told you. I can sleep when the wind blows. Enraged by the response, the farmer was tempted to fire him on the spot. Instead, he hurried outside to prepare for the storm. To his amazement, he discovered that all of the haystacks had been covered with tarpaulins. The cows were in the barn, the chickens were in the coops, and the doors were barred. The shutters were tightly secured. Everything was tied down. Nothing could blow away. The farmer then understood what his hired hand meant. So he returned to his bed to also sleep while the wind blew. When you're prepared, spiritually, mentally, and physically, you have nothing to fear. Can you sleep when the wind blows through your life? The hired hand in the story was able to sleep because he had secured the farm against the storm. We secure ourselves against the storms of life by grounding ourselves in the Word of God. We don't need to understand. We just need to hold his hand to have peace in the middle of the storms. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 with me. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's all stand as we read verse 21 through 26. We have all heard Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In verse 21, the Bible says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, world certainly does seem that it's very uncertain right now. But Lord, I am thankful that you are never uncertain. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have established our ways. Lord, I'm thankful that you will direct our paths and guide our paths. We should not be fearful today. There's no need to fear. There's no need to panic. Because you truly are in control. Lord, I pray that we'll be able to sleep tonight if the wind blows. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 18, the Bible says there's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath something that every one of us knows about. Fear has something that if you've had fear, you know what this thing is. It's a thing that you can't get rid of on your own, by the way. This is a thing that comes into your life and you know all about it. And if you think about this, in your life, in the times of fear, you have been this thing. And it won't let loose of you because it comes right along with fear. Fear hath torment. And this torment comes into your life specifically because you are afraid. And it is its only type of torment. Fear only has torment. It only has torment because you're never sure of what's going to happen. You're never sure about what's on the morrow. You're never sure about what's coming. And by the way, the Bible tells you, boast not of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Here's a thought, and this just happened. Ryan rolled his car over and over and over again. I promise you, 20 minutes before he rolled his car, he had no idea that that was going to happen. And what's amazing in our lives, Brother Josh, we not knowing is actually more comforting to me. Now, you would think that, well, Brother Dave, if you knew the future, how much better off would you be? Nah, I don't think so. I'm better comforted knowing that I do not know what's coming. I am better comforted realizing, Brother Rod, that I'm going to have to put my life into the hands of a person that loves me and literally can direct my path. I'm going to have to put my life into the hands of the person that died for me, that loves me so much that he came down to this earth and hung on the cross for me. I'm going to go ahead and put my life in his hands. You might say, well, Brother Dave, that I'm not finding any comfort there because I'm having a hard time doing that myself. You know what? You've got no choice. Because it's either in his hands or in your hands. And if you have no idea what your future is going to be, you might as well give it to somebody that does.
Amen.
Because fear hath torment. And what you've got to understand, Brother Carl, the Lord loves you perfectly. There's no imperfection in God's love for you. So if he loves you perfectly, and that perfect love casteth out fear, we should be willing to admit then, we should be willing to decide in our lives, I am no longer going to be afraid. Because God loves me. And no matter what, I don't care what spin you put on this, I get a little sick and tired hearing every single day that the world's going to collapse, that this thing's going to happen, that these things are going to happen. Let me explain something to you, folks. That may very well come to pass, but God loves me, and God's going to direct me through every ounce of that.
Amen.
Perfect fear, our perfect love casteth out fear. And look at what this says. I want you to read these verses because I've got to believe one of the greatest things in a Christian's life is being able to sleep through the night. And you know what? That sounds so simple. It sounds so absolutely simple of being able to sleep through the night. But how many people in this room have had sleepless nights? I've had night after night after night where their future is so uncertain that it seems that I don't know which way I'm going to turn. I don't know if I should turn to the left hand or to the right. I don't know which way I should turn, but you can't control it. Isn't that the craziness of life? Is it you just can't control it? It's in that uncontrol that you have, the not being able to control. It's in that process where you've got to seek the Savior. It's in that process that, understand, you're not going to live a life with no winds blowing. You're not. It doesn't exist. I don't care. What's people say, well, money answers everything. I'll never forget this special I saw one day where they had, I want to say it was 20 lottery winners that had won millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. It was crazy how much money they won. One person, I think, won $121 million all at once, almost as much as C.C. Sabathia is worth, apparently. But these people had won all this money. Out of the, I want to say it was 20 people, not one person, not one of the 20 couples that were up, or the 20 people that were up there, not one of the people that were up there had the same spouse they had when they won the money. Not one. Almost half of the people not only didn't have any money, they were bankrupt. And you would say, man, you just give me $1 million, I'll be all right. Do you know money has nothing to do with being in control? Nothing. You ask people that have a lot of money, some of the most unhappy people in all the world. And you can't imagine that. You can't imagine, if I just had a little bit more money, we'd make it. If I just had a little bit more of this, we'd make it. Money is not the answer to this. Money is not the answer to a sweet night's sleep. The Bible even teaches us the people who have great gain have sleepless nights. That's what it teaches in the Scriptures. I want you to read this with me. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. What are the things that this is talking about? What are these two things that this is talking about? Look up in verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? All wisdom comes from God. And the man that getteth understanding. Where does understanding come from? The Word of God. See, you're only going to find these two things that it speaks about. My son, let those two things, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul. You know what's not life to your soul? Being in fear. If you're in fear every day, it's going to tear your life up. It will. You won't be able to think around it. The thing that you will see every day will be that torment, that fear, that thing that stops you from trying to live for God. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Hey, listen, and I'm going to point this out. See, I believe God providentially kept Ryan alive in that wreck. Providentially. Now listen, you might say, well, Brother Dave, I've had a lot of people that are friends of mine that have gotten in wrecks and have died. Was God there too? I say absolutely. Here's our problem as humans. We think, and there's been a lot of times this has happened in my, just since I've been here 15 years, Dad, a lot of times this has happened where you think there's no way God's going to let this happen. There's no way God is going to take life from that person. Or there's no way that God's going to do this. Or there's no way that God's going to do that. We try so hard to put God in a box. I don't know what God has for Ryan's life, but I hope and pray that Ryan sees it. Because if he doesn't see that God helped him there and kept him around for something, then something's a matter. See, what you've got to understand is this. God has a direct plan for every person's life in here. The problem is, we don't want to know what that plan is necessarily. Yes. That's right. Why? Because it might take us out of our comfort zone. Yes, sir. Serving God is uncomfortable. Yep. It really is. I mean, people are, oh, the ministry is the greatest thing ever. Hogwash. Get in it. I wouldn't want to be in anything else. Please don't misread me. But it's not fun. It's hard. And there's fantastic rewards in it, but it's hard. In my opinion, the ministry is the most difficult job on the planet. That's why it's a calling, not a job. You're right. But understand this, please. God has a perfect line of thought for you. And if you can lean to His understanding in all thy ways acknowledge him. Let him direct your path. Is there any reason to fear? Now, I want you to think with me now. Is there any reason to fear as long as you're letting God direct your life? If you're doing what God has you to do, is there any reason to be in fear? Now, we worry every single day. We worry, how in the world am I going to get these bills paid? Let me bring that up to you, by the way. Hey, I have bills. Is that God's fault? This is where I start to laugh at myself, okay? I laugh at myself. Well, God, why did you get me in this predicament and not being able to pay my bills? And God looks back down.
I didn't sign up for the credit card, stupid.
Well, you laugh. You're in Mr. Visa and Mr. MasterCard's pocket, too. And at Christmas time, cash doesn't flow. Plastic does. And then all year long, your cash flows after Christmas. See, what happens is this. Some of the problems that we dig ourselves into, Miss Debbie, are our own fault, not God's. We took our eyes off of God and decided we're going to put them on ourselves, and let's see if ourselves can get ourselves out of this problem. We try so hard to make our life encapsulated in what we can do. God doesn't deal with what we can do. God deals with what he can do.
Amen.
But we won't wait long enough to let him have his perfect work.
Yes.
We won't. See, you've got to come to grips with something. Do you want that sweet night's sleep? It's not about money. It's not about what you're physically capable of doing. It's not. It's not about you. What your perfect night's sleep is about is not even a sleep number bed, which are great, by the way. And man, I wish I had one. Preacher, but, and when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Just press the remote and pick that number 35. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet because you're not afraid, because you're not in fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear. I've had so many people come to me and say, Brother Dave, this new crazy man's in office now. This world's going to go down. And I said, not unless God lets it.
Yes.
And maybe we deserve it. Here's the thing. Maybe we deserve it. But what is the worst thing that can happen to you? Heaven?
Yeah. That's right.
Why is there so much fear? Why is there fear? We may lose our house. You may. I can't predict what's going to happen. I can't. That's what's great about the Christian life. I'm going to leave that in God's hands. Whether you like to think that way or not, I'm not going to leave it in God's hands if he's going to take my house away. That's just crazy talk. Christ never had a house. You know, what's amazing is the people that we look up to, the people that we think of, are not the people that God's necessarily going to make great. What's amazing is this, and this boggles my mind. The people that we look up to on this earth today are usually people that have a lot of money. And we look up to them. Why? Why do we do that? They don't sleep nice one time, and they live in fear of all that. Why do they live in fear? By the way, the only thing we truly fear inside of us, I really believe this, is not the things that we don't have. It's the things that we do have and fear losing.
Yep.
That's really what it is.
Yes.
The things that we possess and fear fear that we're going to lose. When you look at your life, do you ever think for 1 minute that God gave you everything you have?
Right.
Now, see that. No, seriously. Now, I want you to think with me. You're really going to have to use your mind here, because did God give you everything you have? Listen to me. God gave me my wife. And I shudder. I don't even want to even remotely run through my mind not having her. I don't. Do you realize that God gave you your husband? Do you realize that all those things God gave to you? Why would we want to be in fear of losing them? Now understand, and please don't misread me. This probably sounds bad. It probably sounds bad. Well, Brother Dave, you're not in fear of losing your wife. I don't fear losing her because I believe the Lord's going to let me have her until I go. I believe the Lord gave her as a gift to me. And I really think that if God gave her as a gift to me, I shouldn't fear losing her because God gave her to me. Do you see what I'm getting at? It's not because I don't fear losing her. I certainly don't want to lose her. But it's all about God gave that to me. Why would he take it away? And maybe he will. But what you've got to understand is God does not want you to live in torment. God does not want you to live in fear. God does not want you to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day. God wants you to abide in his will. Seek the wisdom, seek the understanding, seek God. And you won't live in fear. You won't live in that torment every single day of the things that we have no control over. I want you to look at a scripture with me. I'm going to give you a short illustration. And I'm going to be all done. Look at Mark chapter 4. I've preached about this before, but I kind of looked at it different today because it was a reaction that the Lord had. And I want you to see this in Mark chapter 4. You've heard this before. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. That was Jesus. He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you didn't wake me up sooner? How is it that you didn't pray to me sooner? Is that what that says there? I want you to think with me for a minute. How is it that you have no faith? I got to thinking about this, and I've preached this before. I've preached, man, wake him up, get down there. If you've got storms coming in your life, go wake up the Lord, man. Don't look around, wake up the Lord. I looked at this a little bit different. Why have you no faith that I'm going to get you through this? You see that I'm relaxed here. You see that I'm not worried. I mean, they could see Jesus literally not worried. I wonder if he wanted them to grab a pillow and lay down because everything's going to be fine. I wonder if he wanted them to say, you know what, Lord? If you're not all upset about this, if you're not going to panic, God, maybe I shouldn't panic. Because Jesus, you're right here. I can see you, and I can see that. And by the way, the Lord speaks peace to you. The Lord wants you to be having peace. The Lord wants you to understand that he's in control. The Lord wants you to understand no matter how bad it is outside, no matter how bad it is, Jesus is still in control. He still has everything in his hand. Yes, there's things going on in this nation right now that nobody can explain. I get that. But God is still on the throne. I'm a little bit tired of people saying my Savior's weak and he can't fix this old world. Maybe he's done fixing it. You ever think about that? Here's what you got to understand. I wonder if God wants us to relax just a little bit. I wonder if God wants us to realize, you know what? I am still in control. Pull up a pillow, take a nap. It'll be just fine. I'm not saying stop working. I'm not saying stop building. I'm not saying stop giving. I'm saying do all those things because those are the things that can help you to have peace. Because those are his ways. See, they're worried on the ship about the wind taking them down, about the waves blasting into the ship and tearing it apart with them on it and them not making it. That was their fear. God didn't say grab buckets and let's bail. God didn't say trim the sails, gentlemen. God didn't say get the lifeboats ready. God said, why didn't you have faith in me? Why did you have no faith? We have no trouble trusting him. And I've said this a million times. We've got no trouble, Brother Sean, trusting him with our salvation. Trusting him that when we die and we take our last breath, that the angels will come and will take us to heaven to be with him. We have no trouble trusting him for that. But we can't trust him with our lives, our puny little lives. We trust him with our death. We don't trust him with our life. And we walk every day in fear. I don't think I'm going to make it because the wind is coming. Now, here's what we do. 7 minutes and I'll be done. Here's what we do. We get ourselves prayed up. And I mean really praying. See, what happens is this. We have no conversation with the Heavenly Father, so we really don't know what he wants. We have no conversation with him because we don't sit down and take a chance to talk to him. We don't, and I'm not talking about the million-dollar words that we all like to whisper during prayers and in front of everybody. I'm talking about how you speak to God. Because God expects you to speak to him as yourself. He doesn't expect you to speak to him as somebody else. He expects you to speak to him as your... Here's the thing. God made Noah Webster. I'm quite certain his vocabulary is broader than yours. He probably speaks a little bit better English than we do. So when you go to talk to God, talk to him as you speak. Talk to God as he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Talk to God as you want to you want to implore from him, God, please, let me know that you are there. God, please, I need something in my life. Please help me to follow your will and your way for me. Because that's really what you ought to want as a Christian. You, as a Christian, you ought to want his will and his way for your life. And if you really want that, ask him for it. God can help you. I preached a funeral today. This lady was an older lady, lived a full life, and the kid sat there and said, I can't believe this happened. Hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what age people die. It doesn't matter. It's still sudden, and I don't care if it was a long-term illness. It's still sudden when it happens. And you still can't believe that it happened. It is crazy that way. But you could tell they had no assurance. They had no assurance. Are you saved in here today? Is anybody saved in here today? Do you realize that if you're a saved person, this world is not your home?
Amen.
Do you realize that if you're a saved person, the walls that surround you, no matter how majestic your home is nothing compared to what you've got waiting for you in eternity?
Right.
Man, if I die, you better have a party for me. Don't have a funeral. Have a party. Because I'm excited. See, what you got to understand is we treat this like it's all we've got left. We treat this like, oh man, if we lose this world, if America goes down, what in the world's going to happen? This is nothing. This is nothing. Do you know what is worth something in this world right now? The only thing, by the way, that's worth something in this world right now? The only thing that is worth anything in this world right now, there's only one thing. Only one. One thing that has any worth to it at all that's in this world right now. Souls. That's it. There's nothing else. Nothing else is worth anything. So do you realize if you win somebody to Christ, you did something worthy? You did something worthwhile? You did something that was amazing because you can take this $400 microphone that usually doesn't work? John, this is worth nothing. But it's amazing how hard we'd work to get to one of these, but we won't work to win somebody to Christ. It's just a thought how askew we get this whole world. And we're so worried about what in the world's going to happen. Have you asked God? Have you talked to him? And just talk to him like a normal human being, like who you are. Entering the throne room of grace as yourself, because that's how God wants you to come, with no fear. Are you ready for the storm? Are you prayed up? Are you read up? Do you get into this Bible and read it? And listen, I love the fact that we teach here to read through this in a year. And I think that's fine. But I don't care if you get one verse, one word, one thought. Are you getting your eyes on God's word to get that wisdom, to get that knowledge, to get that understanding? Are you getting that in your heart? Because if you can get that in your heart, it casts out fear. It casts out fear. Because you're going to see and hear, when you get into this Bible, you're going to see that really Jesus is in control. You're going to get in this Bible, you're going to see that God really is on the throne. When you get in this Bible, you're going to see that at the end, we win. You're going to get in this Bible, you're going to find out that God breathed into existence this planet. It was just a breath to him. Why are we so worried about this old world? It was just a breath. Listen to this. I like this thought. It took him a sentence to create the earth. He's been preparing a place for us ever since he ascended. That is good, Jack. I wish everybody would have said that.
Amen.
He breathed and the earth was. Whew. I don't know how he did it. Doesn't really matter. He's been, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. Don't worry about this old world. I've got a place that's so much better for you. I made you this beautiful planet, and it is beautiful. I made you this great place, and it is great. I gave you a great nation, and it is great. But all those things I did in 1 minute in time, 1 second in time, 1 breath in time, I've been preparing a place for you ever since. Don't you understand, Christian? Do not fear. This earth is not your home. You're just going to have an address change. That's the things you find out about it when you read the scriptures. When you read and get read up and get prayed up, if you want to sleep when the wind blows, batten down your hatches with faith. Batten down your hatches with prayer, understanding that God has a perfect plan for your life. And be ready. Be ready before the storm even comes. You know what? I don't know what tomorrow brings. And these are certainly uncertain times at the best. But there's one thing that I am certain of. No matter how fearful it gets here, our Savior's in control there. Do not have fear. Can you sleep when the wind blows? Can you sleep when bad times come? Can you sleep? Can you sleep? No, and by the way, bad times are going to come. Do you have sweet, sweet rest knowing that your Savior is still in control of your life? No matter how bad it gets, Jesus loves you. He died for you. And all he's asking of us is that we live for him. Please get a good night's sleep knowing that your Savior is in control. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you that you are in control. Lord, I thank you that you want to give us peace. You desire us to have peace. You desire us, and I know it's hard. It is so hard as a human to grab a hold of what you're telling us here. It is so hard to grab a hold of having faith through the times of the storm enough to be able to relax. Having faith in the time of a storm enough to be able to grab a pillow and even take a nap. Lord, you are so incredible. It's amazing how great you are. And in all that greatness, you want us to know that you love us with that perfect love that casteth out fear. Lord, I'm so thankful I'm saved. I don't know how in the world people go day to day to day without knowing you as Savior. I don't know how they make it. But Lord, I would to God you'd give us more bravery to go and tell people about that special peace they can have knowing you as their Savior. Lord, be with us tonight. Be with Bethel. Guide Bethel's path. Please, Lord, take this church in the direction that you want us to go. Lord, I believe that you have guided the steps of my preacher all the time. And Lord, I desperately desire all of the steps of this church to be guided by you. That way this church doesn't have to live in fear. Lord, please help us. Help us to look to you for strength. Help us to look to you for confidence. Help us to look to you for courage. And help us to never fear. Lord, we love you tonight. We love you so much. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right before we go home, no one looking around. Maybe you've been going through some fear. Maybe you've been having trouble. Tonight, the Lord used Brother David to speak to you and encourage you. Maybe you'd say with uplifted hand, "Preacher, I have been fearing some things. There have been some things that have been troubling me. And God gave me some encouragement. I pray for me that I can..." Yes, yes, yes. Oh my, all over the building. God bless you. Both sides, all everywhere. Everything's all right in my Father's house. No matter what happens, nothing happens without Him knowing it. And He's always with us. I preached not too long ago, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's a promise. Yea, I'm with you always, even unto the end. I'm glad to be a child of God. I've been saying this statement a lot, but I really mean it. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And He who holds our future, He'll take care of things. Maybe you want to come and pray tonight. After I get done praying, why don't you just come? Come to the altar and say, "God, help me. I've had these fears. Lord, calm the storm. Give me that peace that Jesus wants me to have during the storm." Father, help us to have that faith, to, even in the storms, to trust you. Lord, many times we don't understand why the sea and the wind's raging, but it doesn't matter, because you're on our ship, you're on board, and nothing can take us down with you with us. So, Father, help us have that kind of faith. Help us have that kind of trust. And help us not let the devil torment with fear, torments of the devil. Help us to stay in the perfect love so it expels torment. Lord, there was many hands went up tonight on both sides. I pray, dear Father, that those going through some troublesome times would have faith to trust you and not to fear. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse. You want to come and pray? You come. What page are you on, Mark? 401. 401. Only